You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Lions fans, this is the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where the Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who always podcast hands-free, Chris and the Riz.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is a special edition, the Broderick Martin interview. It's a good one. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and gorgeous co-host, Jeff the Riz Rizden. How are you doing today, brother?
Chris, it is great to be with you. I am so excited to touch Broderick Martin. I can't express how fun this is going to be. This is going to be a guy. Lions fans are really going to like him. They're going to like this. And they're going to, I can see some people wanting to buy some Broderick Martin jerseys after this one.
For reals. For reals. Broderick, I just know I'm going to love this guy. You can tell he's got a personality on him. Feels like a big old teddy bear. We'll get into this. Let's go do this. We're going to interview Broderick Martin. We're going to talk about what's coming up in this year. We got a lot to say, a lot to do with him. Riz, are you ready to go, my man?
Let's do it.
All right. Broderick Martin joins us. Really excited. Broderick, thank you so much for joining the show, man. It's great to have you on board.
Man, I appreciate y'all for having me on board, man. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, that's great. Welcome to Detroit. One of the best stories, you know, we love draft day. We love seeing guys like you realize your dream, the excitement, all the work kind of coming to that. This is where I'm landed. This is where that career starts. This is the payoff for all of that. The story about you coming down six flights of stairs, your mom jumping, we loved it. Loved it every minute. I just want to ask, though, in that moment, if you had to sum it up in just a couple of words, the culmination of all this, how would you summarize just everything you felt in that moment?
In one word, you said?
You can use more words. That's okay. But I figured it's a kind of lot.
I felt blessed. It felt unreal, like absolutely unreal, man. Like just all my hard work, like you said, all my hard work. I've been playing football since I was 5 years old. I didn't realize that I wanted to do this until like maybe I got to like high school. But still, it was just, I've been playing this sport for so long, man. It's just a blessing to see that it like finally didn't pay it off for, man. I got this opportunity, one of the best opportunities I ever had to do this at a high level, at the highest level. Matter of fact, at that, man, I just felt blessed.
Well, congratulations.
Any word that I can use is blessed.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, man.
That's a good word. It's great to have you in Detroit. So I'm kind of a draft guy. So I want to ask you, like, going through the draft process, what was like the most unexpected thing that happened to you while you were getting ready for the draft or even like being drafted? What was that like for you?
The most unexpected thing in this process?
Yeah.
Man, it had to be getting drafted in the third round, to be honest.
So did you have an inkling or like your agent have an inkling of like where you might go, like a team or a round or anything like that?
I heard, I heard third round from one team. Those the Giants. They could get me in the third round and all that. But when I seen that they traded, they picked back. I was just I was sitting downstairs when I told you I was upstairs. I was sitting downstairs at first in the lobby of the hotel where they set up everything. You know what I'm saying? Once I seen that the Giants had traded back to trade their pick and all that, that's when I went upstairs and just got me something to eat at the rooftop restaurant. So when I had got that call, man. I'm just like, what? This is crazy. took them six flight dinner.
That's really awesome. Let me ask you, you get to Detroit after the draft. I know you're feeling the dream, right? You're just, every step is probably a lot lighter than it was before as you're coming through and just everything's new. I'd like to hear about your first impressions about Detroit and Michigan. And then what surprised you the most about the Lions your first day in the building?
What I love when I first got here is just like, I'm not used to no big city. You know, I'm from Alabama. Obviously Tuscaloosa is not really a huge city and then like, but just seeing the city first off is huge. I kind of liked it. You know what I'm saying? The tall buildings, the everything, just everything really about it. I love the fans here. The fans is probably like the thing that I love the most here. Like when I got drafted, I was on the phone when I got called, and I was trying to be on the phone with the media and stuff. My phone was just blowing up, and it was just straight Detroit fans, you know. Yeah. And it was just like I love the fans here. It's probably the best thing ever. Like this fan base is huge. But when I got to the building, the one thing I love just the culture around it, man. Everybody's like family. To be honest, like. Yeah, already, you know, of course they already knew who I was, but it's just they treated me like I was already here before, like I was already on the team and all that. Like, it was just I really feel like I got in a blessed situation, man. I love it here.
I think I'll tell you just one thing about Detroit. I've lived in a lot of places in the country throughout the years. There's something very, very special about the people of the city of Detroit, and it fits well with the mindset of the football the team today and players in general. That work that you had to put in to get to where you are, that's what people do every day in Detroit. And I think it's one thing that a lot of the guys that come to town really get to know and appreciate is that there's a lot of similarities. Even though some guy's going to put put together an F-150 one day at work, he's doing the same kind of work and getting ready as the guys and to get into the game and play the game. It's a really good connection between the fans and the players.
Definitely, I can definitely see that for sure.
You're going to feel that. So you're from Tuscaloosa. So you had to grow up either an Alabama fan or an Alabama hater. So which one were you?
Roll Tide, baby. I can't never hate Alabama. I stayed like 3 minutes from the stadium. I can't hate Alabama.
Yeah. Did you play any other sports growing up, or were you just a football guy?
I played basketball. I played basketball since I was like, I think I started playing basketball in the sixth grade. And then I ran track. I did track also.
Cool.
I'm not taking a charge from you. I'm telling you that right now.
Probably wouldn't advise it.
Let me ask you about your impressions on the coaching staff. There's a lot about Dan Campbell and his authenticity and who he is, and really all the front office. Can you talk about the coaching staff, and then also how about the vets that are there, the players? Have any of them reached out to you yet?
Yeah, I love the coaching staff, man. They're so intentional about getting me acclimated to how they do things right here. The intensity that they coach with, I love it. The passion, and the thing about their coaching, they really like they teach. Like they're like not. You can have coaches that just like tell you to do something and all that, but it's nothing like actually teach it and get you acclimated to how things going and all that. And I think the coaches down here do a great job of that. Like I'm always saying, I'm blessed to be here because with this coaching staff, because it's just how they. I feel like my career is going to go upward, you know, especially with Coach Scott and Coach AG and all of them. Yes. As far as the vets, a couple of vets reached out to me before I even got here. Isaiah Buzz, Aline McNeil. I'm gonna talk to them the most. They was real good about telling me, you know, find me a place to. Like look for a place to stay in and all that. But as far as like they're telling me how like what to expect coming in and stuff like that, and yeah, we got some good vets here too, for sure.
Yeah.
Is it starting to get comfortable for you now? Like you've moved, like you're set up a little bit. You're starting to settle into like, okay, now I'm a professional football player, like this is my work. Is that starting to really sink in and get serious for you now?
It really is. I'm up here from about 6:30 to 4, and it's straight work all day. It's mental and physical work all day. I'm starting to, like I said, getting the feeling of it. Just doing it every day, really. Blessed to be here. I'm always say that.
Let me ask you, coming from, you know, what's termed a smaller school, not being invited to the combine, what are some of the hurdles or the obstacles you felt that you had to overcome and to get you on the map to be drafted in the third round?
Like I said, starting at a smaller school. Really, I started at a school smaller than Western. I started at North Alabama. That was a fight to get on the scene.
They're the Lions, right?
Really, the Lions.
North Alabama Lions?
Yeah, that's it. I just love being a Lion. it was a fight to get on the scene there. COVID happened, and it just so happened that the games that I play, I only have played four games that COVID season. It just so happened them four games was on Western schedule, and they seen me shine a little bit, so they wanted me. So that was a blessing to be able to come to Western, and then that was another small school, and of course they're gonna. The competition that I went against and stuff, it wasn't always the top competition and stuff, but that's why I feel like the East-West Shrine game was also a blessing to get into that, because I got to show that I could play against them people consistently, the Power Fives and stuff consistently. So yeah,
that's something that's actually was you did led right into my next question, the importance of the Shrine Bowl for you during the process, because we go to the Senior Bowl every year. It's been a little difficult because the timing, but we used to do the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl every year and watch and check out the guys, and it's really helped a lot of guys. But as far as besides showing that you can play at this level of talent, what did you take away? How did you go in one way and you practicing and playing with some real top level talent? What was the thing that you took away from that you were able to use going forward?
So first we got coached by the full Atlanta Falcons coach staff. I got to see firsthand on how NFL coaches expect you to learn things and how fast they expect you to play until your game. I got to learn like how quickly they want you to progress. Like, it's like my first day out there, it was a good practice, but I messed up on some mental stuff and all that. So they didn't get on me, but they was like, you got to get it the next time, because they're not going to sit down and wait on you to try to figure it out. I only had 4 days. So I had to learn everything quickly. It helped me with my learning process. I processed stuff a lot quicker. Had to, in order to be able to shine in that Shrine Bowl. So It was a blessing. There's most of what I took out of it, just how NFL coaches want how fast they want you to get acclimated and to do things the right way.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to give you my last question. I know you got to get out of here and get back to work soon, but what's one thing that you think you need to work on to really make a big splash with the Lions this year?
My pad level. I think I need to they come with just stretching and all this stuff. So I need to be more intentional with my stretching every night and every day, just so I can be able to bend in the hips more. And I guess I would say my attention to detail, just like focusing.
That sounds like Coach Scott right there talking.
Learning my plays and then execute them to at the highest level, at the professional level. So, yeah.
Sure. Let me hit my last. I have my last question is going to be three quick hit questions for you. First one: any charitable causes that are close to your heart? Any the charities that you like to focus on and kind of inspire people to share their winnings with?
Obviously, I told you my brother, I said before, my brother passed away from cancer, leukemia. It was acute myeloid leukemia, so really anything cancer related, I want that awareness to get out of there. I want their research to pick up. So I'm gonna try to set some up geared towards that, specifically leukemia.
Yep. We do a yearly 24-hour show for St. Jude. We've raised over $100,000 so far, Broderick. Love to, later on when we do that, love to hook up and see if you'd like to just do a little interview, a little talk during the part of it, help raise the awareness and help raise some money. We're always down to help with that. That's a big cause for us.
Absolutely.
Second quick hit, what's the first thing you're going to buy with that rookie money?
I won't go too crazy. I'm just if you see my car now, it's just a small car and I'm a big man, so I might upgrade my car, give me a truck.
There you go.
Just for myself.
Good on you.
Definitely. That's right. That's awesome. Last one. It should be an easy one. Anything you want to tell Detroit Lions fans ahead of the 2023 season?
I'm gonna give y'all all I got every single day, every single practice, every single game. I will guarantee that they didn't waste this pick on me. I'm gonna show out. I'm gonna show up every time I get a chance to.
I know you will, Broderick. We can tell what makes you who you are. You're gonna be a fan favorite really quickly here. Appreciate you taking time with us, Broderick Martin, Detroit Lions nose tackle, defensive line beast up front, a real man's man. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon, Broderick. Thanks, man. Yes,
sir. Thanks, man.
All right, Broderick Martin. Holy cow, man. I we were right. People are going to love this guy, man. He's awesome. He is awesome.
You know, they talk about, you know, being cut from the same cloth. Like, it's really easy to see that you know, Broderick Martin is from the same seamstress that produced Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn, Brad Holmes, the whole entourage. Like, he's such a good fit. Like, he talked about it a little bit. Like, he's going to fit so well with the league. Like, I can see those two, like, really hitting it off and being a, you know, the devastating duo of defensive line or something like that. We got to come up with a better name than that. But something alliterative and fun, I can see that happening with these guys real quick.
I feel like they're all going to take on that seatbelt gang identity. I really do. Maybe it's just because they all wanted shirts, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Y'all know where to get your shirts, by the way.
Yeah, seatbeltgang.com. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get access to the Slack chat, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet, and you get to take part in it. You get access to insiders like Rizden, myself, Michael Gray, Scott Bischoff, Ash, the whole crew. We're all there. Even Case hanging around talking still. Great stuff. patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or join the membership on the YouTube channel, and you get access that way as well. The Slack is the place to be, especially as we get into these slower days of the season. You want to find that Lions talk somewhere with somebody with some kind of intelligence, and they do exist. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. It's DET Lions Podcast. And follow Jeff at Jeff Risden. You find him there. It's all the good insider breaking news, all the real stuff. He's over at Lions Wire. You'll know what's coming up there. You'll get it all by following us both on Twitter. Also, give us a call on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us in the Lions line at 248-782-8384, 248-RUB-U-FUG. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast. Riz, tell them why. Tell them why they want to do that.
So I can come into your ear holes automatically.
That's right. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs. No problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.